Welcome to the Be Kind Podcast with your host, Joe Kirchner, presented by the Animal Advocates of South Central Pennsylvania.
Welcome, everybody, to Be Kind Podcast. This is Joe Kirchner here, joined by John Beck, and today we have the privilege of being joined by Allison Saya. And just a reminder, the Be Kind Podcast is an extension of the Animal Advocates of South Central PA, who's creating a more loving and caring world for all creatures, big, small, extra-dimensional, interplanetary, whatever works for you, whatever kind of creature. They all deserve to be loved, and we're going to make it so they all are loved. And like I mentioned, today we're joined by Allison Saya, who is a current participant in our vegan challenge. So hi, Allison.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So just could you provide us a little background on how you found the vegan challenge, what led you to enroll in it, and how's it going so far?
Sure. I've been following Animal Advocates on Facebook and social media, and I saw the challenge pop up, and I had been a vegetarian for quite some time, and I have always kind of been vegan curious and wanted to, try it out. And I thought this was as good a time as any to try it out. So I joined the challenge, and I got paired up with a great mentor. Kim Lehman is my mentor, and she's been fantastic. It's been going great. It's a lot better and a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more of a challenge, but I've loved it so far.
Yeah, I always say this when we talk to newbies, quote unquote. Back in my day, I've been vegan for 14 years. So back in my day, it was so hard to like find vegan things. And and it just seems like now it's not quite a golden age, but it's like it's amazing how much things have progressed for vegans. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can tell it's getting easier and easier for new folks. So that's awesome.
I think maybe a more accurate term for these kind of things would be 30-day vegan experience, because I don't like the word challenge per se, because that implies that you're giving up something or that's hard or temporary, whereas it should just be a way of life you're able to incorporate into your daily way of living.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you were a vegetarian, Allison. How did you begin practicing vegetarianism, and what was holding you back from taking that next step to veganism?
I've always been an animal lover since I was a child. We always had, dogs. I live, in the quote unquote big city of Hanover. So we never really were around like farm animals or anything like that, but we always had pets around animals. And ever since I was a child, I was really like I wanted to be around animals. I loved it. I loved going to like petting zoos and things like that when I was a kid. And I always wanted to be a veterinarian until I figured out how long you have to go to school to be a veterinarian. I decided that I'm not big on like math and science. I'm an English person. So I didn't really want to go that far in schooling. So, but I've always just loved animals, always wanted to rescue them and save them. So I'm 48 now, just to give away my age. So I was vegetarian for a long time. So for years, and I have to admit, and I'll be honest with you guys, like I was a lax vegetarian as the years wore on. I ate an 80% vegetarian diet. But there were some times when particularly seafood was the thing that I just kept eating, occasionally, but I never really felt right about it. It always felt like it went against deep down who I was and what I believed in and what I thought I wanted to put into this world. Always loved animals. And I started volunteering back in June at Here With Us Farm Sanctuary in Seven Valleys. I saw a call on Facebook that they needed volunteers, and my husband pushed me to go do it. I met Amanda Clark, who I'm sure you guys know, who runs Here With Us and founded Here With Us. And Amanda's she's become a friend, and she's also the one that really planted the seed of veganism in, because she's very passionate about what she does. And she planted the seed of veganism in my head when I started there. And so I started to go towards veganism. And then when the challenge came up, it seemed like perfect timing that this was the great time to try it. And I think that the more time people spend around animals, that disconnect that people seem to have, that they have dogs in their house and cats in their house, but, they're eating pigs and cows and all these other animals. There's a disconnect there. Yeah. And I think when you start to really be around them and start to care for them, I'm there 2 days a week, two nights a week. I clean the chicken barns. It was almost like an immediate, like I came home the first night of volunteering and I told my husband, like, that's it. I'm done. Like, I'm at least going to be a vegetarian for the rest of my life. You know, I'd love to go vegan because Amanda actually schooled me on a lot of the horrors of the dairy industry, which I think there's also a disconnect with the world at large. They think that if an animal's not actually killed for food, that it's okay, you know,
right,
milk or whatever, but they don't see the other things that go on that in the dairy industry. And Amanda really opened my eyes to that. And like I said, just being around the animals, I formed such an attachment to the chickens, and I'm a huge pig lover. So the pigs at the farm are my favorite. And I just felt like I said, once I started to be around them and form relationships with them and bonds with them, there was no difference for me from, you know, the cats and the dog I have in my house to the animals that were rescued at the farm. That's why I decided to go vegan and do the vegan challenge and plan on continue the vegan lifestyle.
That's amazing. And another thing that happens too when you're around those animals is you start to realize that they all have personalities, and then you really start to bond with them. And
yes,
like I was telling you last night, you know, here with us, they have, well, they're not calves anymore. I guess they're pretty much adults at this point, but Rufus, I absolutely love Rufus. He's so cute. And every time he sees me, he's so excited. And it's just, you know, you get that bond, and it's like, wow, how do people eat these animals? Cause they're just so amazing.
And I think for me, one of the big things was when I actually physically drive from Hanover to here with us, I have to pass this dairy farm. Mm. And the dairy farm has I think they're called veal crates. Where the little calves are like two to a little tiny pen and a little like cut. Mm-hmm. And when you pass them and you see them, like, it literally breaks my heart. Like, I feel like I carried it around with me the rest of the day. I just can't stop thinking about them. And then I go to the farm and I see the cows that are at here with us, and the way they're, you know, they just actually installed a new fence the other day. They actually have a whole huge space now that they can roam around in. Mm-hmm. And I was actually there when Amanda led the cows to the new space, and they were kicking up their legs. They were so happy. And then I had to drive back home, and I had to drive past those poor calves in the veal crates again. And like, I honestly, and I'm not lying here, I actually cried on my way home.
I believe it.
It just, you know, really touched my heart.
I work in fundraising, and a lot of times you have to find different ways to appeal to people's emotions to get support, whether it's monetary, volunteer, advocacy, or otherwise. And there's a saying that one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. And that's unfortunately the case with a lot of this animal advocacy work. Is you can sit there and tell people till you're blue in the face the millions upon billions of countless amounts of animals that die for our palate pleasure, and it won't resonate at all because it's just such an astronomical number that it doesn't mean anything to anyone. You can't comprehend 100 billion or a million or even 1,000. Those numbers just aren't able to be pictured in our consciousness. But when you have that singular story of a Rufus or a goat or a chicken or a pig that really speaks with you, that is what sticks, and that is what gets people to take action and make change. So that's why a lot of these stories we hear are from people who go to these farm sanctuaries and see these animals and as an individual rather than just a part of a collective herd that's eventually going to be killed and processed into commodities for our consumption.
Yeah, and that's why I do a lot. I'm very active on social media. I'm one of those oversharing people on social media. But that's why I post so many pictures of the animals at the farm on my volunteer days, because if I can just get one person to think about maybe what's on their plate at night, you know, I just saw this picture on Allison's Facebook or Instagram. Like, if I can even just change one person's mentality to be kind and to live a compassionate life, it's worth it. So I tend to overshare just to kind of get those personal stories across. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, it's a great way of activism without having to like leave your house, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing that you're doing there. So yeah. And you've been doing that even before the vegan challenge too, which is right.
Yeah. I've been sort of like into animals, you know, like I said, for my whole life. And I remember my senior year of high school, actually, I didn't go to senior week. I actually went to D.C. and did a march for the animals.
Oh, wow.
They used to have them. I graduated in 1990. So this was like 1980. I think it was 1990 is when I went.
Okay.
And my mom took me down and we did this whole march for the animals. So I've always been really vocal, you know, in promoting animals. But like I said, it didn't feel right that I was saying, okay, love all animals, but yet I didn't make that step towards veganism.
Right.
So now I feel more like at ease with myself because I did take that, that next step.
Wow, that's awesome that you were doing that even, you know, back then. That's really...
Yeah, way back in the 90s.
That's great. That's around the time I started too. So yeah, that's great.
I'd imagine a lot of potential vegans are curious as to what practical changes you made in your life as you made that transition from vegetarianism to veganism. How did that affect your day-to-day living or your meals or actions or even thoughts and interactions with other people?
I think when I first started, to be honest with you, like on September 1st, I went out to Giant, my local Giant store, and I stood in the like organic aisle and I actually almost started crying. Like I actually messaged my husband who was at work and I was like, I have no idea like where to even start. Like I didn't, it just felt, cause I did not realize how much dairy products are in things you would not think of, like snacks or milk powder or whatever, like just little things like that right. I never even thought, you know, had those type of ingredients in it. At first it was a bit like, it was a bit overwhelming to me to get things and to be able to eat, you know, in a way that was easy for me, I guess is the word. But then as I started like, you know, with Kim, she's been texting me and been great with support. And Amanda always answers my questions. And I kind of realized, oh, you know, I can get almond milk and it doesn't taste that really any different than cow's milk. Yeah. And I was actually surprised at, and I think we had mentioned this before, you know, when I was a vegetarian back in the 80s, when I started, it was so hard to kind of like, you know, you went to a restaurant and you got like French fries or something like that, or, you know, a baked potato or something like that.
Or salad.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like now, like you go and you got almond milk, you've got oat milk, you've got all these other soy milk. Mm-hmm. So I think there were just so many options now. And I think for me, I've always been a big lover of vegetables. So I think I've actually been having fun. My husband actually didn't sign up for the challenge, but he's been doing it with me.
Oh, nice.
To be supportive. Because he doesn't want to sit there and, you know, he's pretty much vegetarian now as well. He wasn't before.
Wow.
He actually started when I started it here with us because he came with me a few times and he realized he started connecting the dots as well. And so he actually went vegetarian and now for this month, he's actually been vegan with me. That's so awesome. We love to try out new recipes. So, you know, I go online and I, you know, find videos and recipes and I just like to try new things. And I think it's actually just easy right now. And I think it's actually fun, you know, to try new things and to try to get, you know, certain flavors out of, and I just got something, I don't even know what it is. I found it at Wegmans last week, but it's like an egg replacement. Like you mix it with water.
Is it Follow Your Heart possibly?
Yes, it is.
Yep. That stuff's pretty awesome. If the best thing to do, if you really want to get that like eggy taste is to add, there's like a black salt. I forget the actual name for it, but it has almost like a sulfury taste to it. So it helps make that eggy taste come out in that. Yeah. It's really good.
Tip.
Yeah. No problem.
But I had like this cake mix in my cabinet and I was like, I'm going to try this. And I made it and it looked exact. I made cupcakes and they looked exactly like normal cupcake, you know, dairy with eggs in them. And they tasted exactly the same. There was no difference. And I think it really opened my eyes how people have this notion that vegans are, they just eat, you know, they just chew on carrots or, you know, munch on some kale or something.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. But like there's so much out there, right? There's so much, you know, going on and Beyond Burgers.
If you ever come to York, right now at Grocery Outlet by Gabriel Brothers, they have Beyond Burgers. I'm not trying to promote their store or anything, but but they have this sweet deal going on right now. It's 2 for $5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Somebody's going to be listening to this a year from now and hear that and go, damn you, John.
Yep, sorry. It's a little dated. Sorry.
I'm a big proponent of hashtag team write bananas for egg replacers.
Yeah. There's, like Joe said, that's awesome. There's like that he brought that up because there's so many different ways of making an egg if you're doing baked goods, like applesauce or like peanut butter. Like it, the egg itself is basically a binder. So,
so
all you need to do is find something to bind it with, like, you know, bananas.
I've also been really happily surprised. Not that because of COVID, I'm not really going out to eat yet in restaurants.
Right.
We do a lot of takeout, but I'm actually been pleasantly surprised recently with how many restaurants now have vegan options.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, they'll have a vegetarian option that they say can be made vegan. You know, which, like I said, back in the day when I was just starting out as a vegetarian, there weren't even many vegetarian options. So it's been really, my son is actually, both of my sons are vegetarian.
Oh, nice. So you got a whole veggie thing going on there. That's great.
Yeah. My youngest son actually went vegetarian at 5.
Oh, wow.
And he's 23. So, nice. On his own accord, he kind of put two and two together that a chicken nugget that his, you know, grandma had taken him to McDonald's for mm-hmm. was the same chicken that walked around that he saw at the farm we had been to.
Wow.
And at 5, he put two and two together and said, I'm not ever eating anything that can walk around again.
That's
and
amazing.
He's 23 and he's a vegetarian. I would say he's about 50% vegan. He eats some of the stuff, you know, like the vegan when I make stuff. But he's not as, you know, stringent about the line between vegetarian and veganism.
Right.
But yeah, and my oldest son is actually, he went vegetarian too in high school. So they both are actually vegetarian.
You mentioned the vegan options and scene in Hanover. And that's something I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about. John and I both live in New York City, and we have a pretty good connection with a lot of people in Lancaster and Harrisburg. Well, we don't hear a whole lot about what's going on in Hanover. So can you talk a little bit about the veg scene in Hanover for us?
I'm hoping that it's going to start to be a little bit better. I do know that I just saw that there's a new restaurant on the south end of Hanover. I believe it was called Tap House 6 or something like that. And I did notice that they had some veggie burgers, it seemed like some vegan options on the menu that I just recently saw, but there's not really a whole lot. The one thing that bothers me is none of the like pizza places in Hanover do the vegan cheese.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to demand for it. Cause if you do, then they'll add it on.
Yeah.
There.
I have a Mod Pizza, which of course is a chain.
Right.
So that's actually where I've been going to get pizza,
right.
just because they have that option.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of just not having cheese on pizza.
Yeah. I do that a lot too, actually. Yeah. It's good.
Or you bring your own nooch and just dump some nooch on top of it.
You could do that too.
I know we had gotten, we did the, I know they were doing the vegan week in York mm-hmm. and Nittany Pizza, I guess, has really large, extensive vegan menu. So my husband actually, he teaches school in York. So he actually brought that home for me. So actually a lot of times I do takeout. It actually is from York and not necessarily from Hanover. I'm hoping that Hanover starts to get more vegan options because I think it's really needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that you brought up that restaurants are doing that, because if you go to our website, Animal Advocates website, we have a guide of all the vegan friendly restaurants in the areas.
And Hanover is included on that
list. There's a couple small ones on there, definitely. But if you want to check that out, you can go to our website.
So how has veganism pervaded other aspects of your life throughout this experience? Have you been more mindful about, let's say, clothing or cosmetic choices or even something as serious as medication?
Yeah, as far as like, you know, clothing and cosmetics and things, that's pretty much been part of my life since I was 13. I've been really careful about, you know, the cosmetics that I use. I've never worn leather. I'd never buy anything with leather in it. So that's kind of been, for me, it's kind of been the norm for years for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me that like the veganism, that step to veganism was almost like my last hurdle, so to speak, of feeling like I was living a completely compassionate life that I wanted to live in, you know, in love and in harmony with everything. And so I think this was like my last gauntlet, so to speak, to kind of overcome.
It's great that you already made those decisions long ago to do that, because, I mean, people always put veganism as like a diet. They don't really say that it's like a lifestyle a lot of times, or, you know, what are my words I'm thinking of?
Well, a lot of times people associate plant-based eating with veganism,
right,
but veganism
right.
has a more broader concept, a lot deeper ethnic or ethics.
That's what I was the word I was trying to think of. So that's great that you already have the ethics aspect of it, because that's usually the glue that keeps people vegan, because they think in mm-hmm. the animals and then they go, oh, I need to stick with this because this is hurting something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about themselves. It's about everything. So that's
right.
great that you already made that connection long ago. So
yeah, actually, another funny thing is when I was obviously a senior in high school, we had a thing called the oratorical contest where we had to, it was for speech class, and we had to pick a topic and we had to present a persuasive argument for what we were talking about. And I actually picked vivisection back in 1989.
Oh, wow.
And I was actually chosen as one of 5 people to present to the community in an oratorical contest.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking about vivisection, you know, back in 1989 when, you know, PETA was, you know, doing a lot on, I mean, that was like a really big thing back in the 80s, you know, the vivisection. And so I was actually doing, like, I did my speech on that back in 89. So it's, like I said, it's always kind of been this undercurrent in my life of, you know, kindness towards animals and animal rights. So I think I'm really, I've really been proud of myself this month that I made that last hurdle.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, the veganism was the last thing that I needed to do to feel good about myself.
Yeah. And it's not, yes, it is about making yourself feel better, but it's also helping everything around you too. So yeah, that's amazing that you're doing that. And I'm glad that this has been like a big accomplishment for you.
It's so interesting that you had the ethics first and then went to veganism, where in most cases it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. I know personally I start practicing veganism not for ethical reasons, more for health reasons, and then I made that switch over to ethical side of it. But I think the reason why you keep emphasizing how you felt more at peace and whole after you made the switch is you already had all those ethical thoughts and mindsets and framework in place, and it didn't gel with your current way of living. So once you made that switch, it was much less cognitive dissonance in your everyday life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly. Like that's, it was just, I have this passion for animals and this love for animals and all living things. And it didn't jive with my diet. And I see this now as this sort of final, and when I say be comfortable with myself, it's, you know, a matter of when you walk in your truth, you know, when you walk in what you believe, and I think you're a much happier person and you're doing good in the world at the same time. And I think that that's where I really have made sort of peace with myself over it, that now I'm actually kind of living the life that I want to live ethically and, you know, morally, and now with my food and my diet decisions.
Something that I like to talk about too is that veganism for me anyway is a journey, where right now I'm practicing veganism. I'm not wearing animal products or eating animal products or anything like that, advocating for animals. But I know there's always stuff I could do better. I could choose all organic things. I could switch to renewable energy. I could, let's just say, buy all organic food or locally sourced food, so there's less transportation waste that'll harm the environment, animals like that. So, and I don't want to put forth the message that veganism, once you go forward to veganism, boom, you're done. You're good. There's always room to grow and things.
There's always more steps to take, and you don't have to take those steps, but there's always different tiers that you can go through to make things better for the environment and for yourself and for everything.
At the end of the day, you have to do what works for you in your life in a sustainable way. Like, I could say, I'm never driving a car ever again in my life. And then everyone goes, Joe, why are you late to every meeting? I go, I have to just walk 10 miles to get to this meeting because I can't drive anymore, because I don't think that's ethical. So there is a certain sustainability element to it. And I want to get a feel for what you think your next step is on this journey towards the most ethical, sustainable life possible for you personally.
I think it is. I mean, we really shop at, I try to shop at, as far as produce goes, at like local farms and things like that. We try to buy organic products. And actually for Christmas last year, my husband actually put down a deposit for an electric car for me that's not supposed to be up for 2 years.
Nice.
It's called a Fisker. I don't know if you guys have heard of Fiskers. It's supposed to be an electric car that sort of rivals Tesla. And my husband actually made the deposit for me. So I'm supposed to get one. I believe it's in 2022.
Nice.
So even just little things like that, you know, just electric, you know, electric cars and just those kind of sustainability things for me, I think is kind of like, I don't want to make it sound like I feel like I'm vegan and now I'm just done and I can just, you know, kind of rest on my laurels, because I'm always sort of challenging myself to be a better person and to make better decisions that affect everybody, because I feel like the world is in such turmoil right now that we all have a responsibility to do our part to make things better for the world at large and animals at large and nature at large. So I think for me, it's just trying to find those little ways that I can help, whether it be buying an electric car or buying organic food or going to the local farm to get my produce instead of going to, say, Giant or someplace like that. And also my goal in life, now that I'm an empty nester, is to actually open my own animal sanctuary someday, which is kind of why I started it here with us, because I wanted to learn the ropes, so to speak. That's been my ultimate dream forever. But I'm actually a full-time caregiver for my mom, who has late stage Alzheimer's. So that's my full-time gig, which is why I'm not real flexible to be able to like just go out in the drop of a hat and do things. Now that my kids are gone, I have my mom that I take care of. So I'm kind of tied right now to her care since my dad passed away last year. Ultimately, down the road, I'd love to have that sort of small sanctuary and really educate people on their decisions and animals. And I know the animals, you know, affect climate change and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's all, you know, of course, it's all rolled together. And I'd love to somehow be some sort of a voice for that and educate people on that. I've learned that in my life that, you know, we all take different paths and we all have purpose. And sometimes our purpose changes as we get older. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that I'm nearing 50, I feel that that's like my greater purpose is to help the world at large, you know, as far as animals, climate change, just to make the world a better place for my sons and, you know, their children that come along.
Right. Since we were just talking about, you know, how it's about bettering yourself, don't beat yourself up if you make mistakes along the way, because it'll eat you up inside and you don't want to do that. So it's veganism isn't really about perfectionism. It's just about doing the best you can. So it seems like you already know that and you're doing what you need to do. So that's great. But for anyone that's listening, that's doing this sort of thing right now, like the challenge and stuff like that, don't beat yourself up if you make mistakes along the way, because that's not good for you.
Yeah, don't walk into your car and see leather seats and think you're a failure. That
right,
is
right. But no, I just, you're awesome. Like, wow, like the things you're doing are great. I'm so glad you took the challenge.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's great to hear success stories out of this.
And it's also great hearing how what your experience is trickling into your whole family and network, not just contained to one individual. So yeah, we're planting seed that's growing to a tree and spreading more seeds.
Like I said, I just try. I think it's just so important to just let people know, you know, and I, you know, what you said about perfectionism, I think for the first week I was kind of like kicking myself sometimes because like I think I accidentally, like, I picked up the wrong cheese and I put it on like my pasta. I was like I picked up the Parmesan and it was the regular Parmesan. It wasn't the, right, like the vegan Parmesan. And I really got upset with myself and I'm like, wait a second. It's just cheese. Like it's not the end of the world. And I actually, like, my son brought me lunch from Taco Bell the other day, and Taco Bell, for some reason, sorry, Taco Bell, but they never get the orders right.
I think that's a common thing.
I asked for nachos with no cheese and they had cheese all over them. And I got really upset about it. And my son's like, Mom, it's just cheese. Like, you know? So right. I think that's a really good point that you made, that it isn't about perfectionism. It's about, you know, doing the best that you can do. And,
such a thin line we walk as vegans, where we have to show people that the impact of dairy products is huge and significant and terrible, but then at the same time, we have to be compassionate towards people trying to live a more compassionate lifestyle and not berate them and really just get at them for making mistakes or eating like the ones you just mentioned. We can't just throw people under the bus and stuff like that just for mistakenly put on the wrong cheese, because that wouldn't be a sustainable movement or lifestyle that they'd want to be a part of. But at the same time, correct, we have to advocate for the animals and say this is also terrible. But so yeah. I have no answer, and that's not really a question, just an interesting observation I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you would like to add before we head out of here?
I'd love for people to follow me on social media, if I could say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Allison, it's Allison _ say, Saya, Saia, on Instagram. And I actually, I do run a business where I help people write books. So throwing that out there.
Yeah, please.
I am a writer, and I also own a business that I do virtual assisting, which is a huge thing right now with people working remotely.
Oh, yeah.
So I help clients sort of take care of the odds and ends of their business. But I, as I said, I am a full-time caregiver to my mom. So that's basically my full-time gig. Everything else kind of falls in around that.
That's fantastic.
I love for people to follow along with me and my journey. And I, you know, I've been trying to post some vegan recipes and just showing people that. And the funny thing is I've been posting stuff on my Facebook, like things I've made. Like my husband and I made chicken and waffles the other night with mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm-hmm. It's all vegan. And I posted a picture and people were, you know, my friends like messaged me. They're like, are you sure that's vegan? Like, you know, and I do it, like I said before, because I just want people to know that it's not maybe what they think it is. And maybe it's something that they could try.
Right.
And that's just been a goal of mine, is to, is to just promote it and let people know that it's, you know, it's a great way. It's a great lifestyle. It's not just a diet. It is a lifestyle.
Yeah. And it's fun too. And like you said, you're experimenting with foods and people, like you said, people aren't thinking, oh, that can't possibly be vegan, but it's like, boom, here it is. And I just love, that's the fun part of veganism is the food aspect, because there's so many things you can do and people are just like, what? And then they try it and they're like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great that you're doing that.
All right, Allison. So thank you so much for all your time today. We're coming up on half an hour and we don't like to keep our guests too long away from their busy, busy lives, especially someone like you. I imagine you have a million things to run off to and yeah. Go ahead and do. But I'll put all the information on how to reach you in the show notes. And if you'd like to reach us, you can either message the Animal Advocates Facebook page or send an email to bekindpodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, or wherever podcasts are sold. We'll probably show up in those feeds too. And thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic day.
Bye.
Thank you.